The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. As you can see, I now have solid boards behind me. I replaced the blue rows. They were not solid enough to hold my display. I thought at first that it would be enough, but it turns out the glue was moving and easily kicked out, so I was losing some of the squares. That way, that is solid, because the squares, some of them are glued, some of them are screwed, and it gives a big solidity to the background being solid and wood, MPV, I think they call it. It's a solid plank that gives a great background. Shamrock Shake says, did you see CBC hates white people protest? No, I haven't seen. Your environs were getting creepy. I don't know what that means, environs. Anyways, I'm going to build this progressively, add blocks until the full background is filled. Nicholas Petrus is looking pretty good. Today we have Zoran Mamdani has become the mayor of New York. Look, I don't agree with Zoran Mamdani. I'm not a socialist nor a Muslim, but New York gets what it deserves. So I'm actually happy about him winning. It's going to piss off the rich Jews of New York. It's going to make New York unlivable. It's going to challenge the very existence of property. But anyway, New York was already unviable. So if you're still in New York at that point, you deserve what's coming. And I was seeing him, it's a special kind of Muslims, this Philip Fabry called this Islamofascism. This whole alliance between, because the fact that Muslims are poor, they tend to be communist in other nations, and even in their nations, let's say in an oil nation like Saudi Arabia, you have a whole system of welfare based around oil. So Muslims, they expect a society of sharing and equalization of wealth. And so they make a natural alliance with women of the West, with liberal women. So that's this alliance that we're seeing win in New York, and it was inevitable. It's the consequence of mass migration, as Matt Walsh was pointing out. You invite third world communists in, and then they start winning races. Now, as long as you don't live in New York, this shouldn't be a problem. Just let the liberals punish themselves locally and keep winning at the federal and state levels to protect the places that have not turned liberals. Mark's Live says, is the Minecraft art going to be an overhead map, aka bird's eye view? No, I don't see it as a bird's eye view. I just see the idea of pixelization. And a block in Minecraft, you can see the little pixels and you can see that the pattern is produced by very few pixels. So that's just what I'm trying to reproduce here. It's the pixels inside a block of Minecraft. I think you have something like 8 or 12 pixels width and 12 pixels height on the texture. On the JPEG texture, the GIF texture. So that's what I'm trying to reproduce. and a groundbreaking peer-reviewed Springer Nature Science study showing genetic evidence for global ethnic differences in personality finding, a calm, introverted, agreeable personality complex across East Asians groups and ancient Ice Age European. So isn't that fascinating? There's kind of a break that happened at the Middle East, and with the Ashkenazi Jews and the Middle East, the Brazilians, the Puerto Ricans. See, they are on the left in terms of personality factor, which means they are less agreeable. Isn't that interesting? And then you have the whole Italy, Spanish, Turkish, as you progress through, and then you reach the Asians, the Japan, Tokyo, Japan, second position, Papuan somehow, first position, Chinese Han. So basically you have here a family of Eastern Asian societies in which there's much more kindness. People are reporting the stream is choppy. Unfortunately, I can't do anything about this. Dropped frames detected. So it seems that my connection to 43%. My connection seems to be waving. I can't do anything about this other than it's going to fix itself within the next few minutes. So hopefully, hopefully this is already behind us. Because we do need to talk about something important tonight. It's not small what's happening around Nick Fuentes. And so let's talk about it. Nick Fuentes is in an increasing conflict with white nationalists and alt-righters and people like Arval. And I knew that this was coming. It had to be coming because Nick Fuentes is bigger than white nationalism. And in fact, it is even questionable to what extent he is a white nationalist at all, given that he is first and foremost a Catholic. And, you know, for someone who goes around and says, America first, America first, he is himself, interestingly, he is himself very much a Catholic first. And tonight, what I want to do is not critique Nick Fuentes, but just acknowledge that Nick Fuentes is taking a route and that this route will eventually detach him from radical discourse, inevitably. Wahed says, reduce the quality in the setting to lowest. Well, I don't think that this will fix. I think it's an internet connection problem. My internet must be wavering, or my connection to the Streamlabs stuff, and then the Streamlabs, when they send to Rumble, I hope that it will fix itself with time, but I don't think that reducing quality is the solution. The fact is, America has not been founded by Catholics. Catholics are late arrivants of America. And that creates a tension because Nick Fuentes is, first and foremost, member of a religion that is not at the root of the birth of America, that came in later. Now, it came in later, not so much later, so Of course, the Catholics of the U.S., they do feel that they are at home. And of course, Nick Fuentes, and you could argue legitimately, feels that this is his home, America. And I don't even object to this. But there is a conflict. There will always be a misalignment from the fact that Nick Fuentes is part of a religion that is all-encompassing, umbrella religion, and a very welcoming and open religion. Catholicism is basically the branch of Christianity that has been designed to win over all, to be welcoming to all. And that is why you have the Pope constantly, you know, making outreach in various nations with various races. It's because this belief of a common human community that everyone is equal, and in not equal on all measures, but that ultimately everyone is a child of God. Now, when you have this belief, it makes your religion potentially more extensive. You can spread over more countries. And in fact, you know, you have socialist countries that are Catholic. You have criminal countries, you know, countries where the criminal rates are super high, that are controlled by gangsters in South America, and they're all Catholic. You can have a moral country and morally righteous country that is Catholic. So all of this to say, Catholicism is a diluted form of Christianity that is allowing itself to be carried by such different nations that one can question whether Catholicism is even an ideological moral program. Because if anyone can be Catholic, then what does it mean to be Catholic? But that is the game, that is the trade-off. And all of this to say, Nick identifying as a Catholic and being a Catholic first and foremost in the foundation of his belief, it will take at some point, there will be a breaking point, because just like Catholicism, Nick is on a path of expanding. Nick Fuentes will grow and will reach the stars in the coming years. So as he expands, he will be faced with the very same problem that Catholicism is faced with, which is, all right, well, here's a group of people who want to join the Groypers. They're black. They're probably socialist inside, although they can profess a couple of Groyper beliefs here and there. To what extent, or they can yap America first. And the problem is, on the quest of becoming a broad political personality of interest for political relevance, you have those sacrifices. You end up having to ally with the retards of the world, because there's a majority of retards out there. So there is a absolute contradiction between political relevance and radicalism by definition. Because by definition, people aren't radicals first and foremost, and people are generally retarded also. So this is the context in which there's this conflict between Arval and Nick Fuentes, which is, you know, they make it about, well, did Nick Fuentes approve or disapprove of birthright citizenship? Was there something in his speech that was suggesting that he would go, that he was agreeing with birthright citizenship? I don't think it's about this that much. I think it's about whether Nick is currently pivoting. And I am personally convinced that Nick is pivoting on his message at the very least. Nick is trying to rotate toward more mainstream, more inclusive discourse. And that's not a critique. Again, tonight, nothing that I say is meant as negative against Nick Fuentes. But we have to understand what's going on. Along the way of broadening your message, of increasing inclusivity, there are things that you can't say anymore, and there are beliefs that you have to abandon. And Nick Fuentes is in that process, and I believe it will be on that process for the next 10 years. But at the same time, it's not such a radical change of Nick what's happening. It's a slight change of his messaging, but it's always been in him. Nick has always been giving warnings and saying, look, I'm a Catholic first and foremost, and we believe that people can be saved by the grace of Jesus. And you know, there's no barring of races in Catholicism, in the Catholic Church. And so it's always been there. It's not so much that Nick is changing his beliefs, but he is changing his language. And that's because it's more in line with his views, which have always been different from white nationalism. Nick has been kind of a fellow rider of white nationalism to the extent that he is proposing to bring out there the respect of white people. That to me is good enough. You know, it's good enough. You don't have to be a radical to contribute in your own way. And Nick is suggesting to carry a kind of pro-white, white positive attitude into mainstream politics, which it's like, who would object to this? So, of course, we want him happy, and we want him successful. Like, we all benefit from this happening. But at the same time, we should not deceive ourselves. This is not a white nationalist personality rising. It is a personality who has accepted certain interactions with the far right and certain engagement on certain ideologies of the far right, and he's willing to bring them forward. That's how I see it. Now, let's review in detail what was the misunderstanding, because it all starts from this clip here from Nick.
It's unambiguous who everybody else is with. We're all with America first. Doesn't matter the disagreements, you know, we could get into, like me and Tucker, we had some minor disagreements on Monday. It's nothing compared to the disagreements that collectively we have with them. So steel yourselves, get some backbone, get the courage of your convictions. If you're out there, and by the way, I don't care what color you are. I know maybe that's going to be controversial on my side.
Now, this is where I think Nick is trying to minimize the conflict with Arval, but deep inside, he's trying to present it as, oh, he just got me on semantics. I don't think it's a semantic problem at all. I think there's a foundational problem here. Arval is putting his finger on it, and I think it's wrong of Nick to think that this is merely a semantic issue. Because you, as you said the sentence, you knew, Nick, that it could put you in trouble. So you knew it was provocative from a far-right perspective to say what you're about to say. You even warned at the moment you said it.
But seriously, if you have citizenship, if you were born in this country, this is your birthright. This is our lives. This is our rights. This is our heritage. It's our tax dollars, it's our government, it's our military. This is our country, this is our empire. I'll unite with anybody who proclaims America first above all other countries, including and especially Israel. And they're on the other side of this one, and they're wrong. They need to be put back in their place. Anybody who says that America should come second needs to be reminded your place is number two. America's number one. Anything else, it's not even number two. It's number 100. It's America first, second, third, fourth, fifth. That's what we're about.
So here, Nick making an appeal in the context of his confrontation with the Mark Levin of this world. Nick is making an appeal to unification of anyone who is America first against Israeli first, basically, people. Now, he says especially Israeli first, but anyone else with any for allegiance to something else than America. Now, this is broadening discourse. And the words that he used, he said, I don't care what race you are. So it has to be understood as Nick broadening his political base, potentially. This is Nick courting potential black audience members. Now, has Nick ever rejected black audience members? No. So it's not so new. But it's new to see Nick insist so many times and so often lately in attracting a base that is diverse. And, you know, you can't blame him. If you have the idea of winning a political project of any kind, even if it's not Nick running as president, but Nick supporting certain presidents and certain others, then you have to face the reality that if you can have certain members that will be Hispanic, brown, black, you're dealing with the 40% non-white part of the U.S., and you kind of have to play with them. You have to at least take those that are willing to support you. So it's not such a radical shift, but it's a slow shift that Nick has been doing in the last few weeks where he makes these appeals. Now, I will point out that America First, as someone was pointing out in the regular chat, is a easily imitable signal. You know, America First, it makes a lot of sense in the context of whether you are Israeli first or America first. So for a very, very strong Zionist, claiming America first is enough to distinguish yourself from them. But I would point out, America first is easily endorsable as a pair of words. And the idea of caring about America shouldn't be enough for your political movement. Because communists, even communists, care about America first most of the time. Even socialists want to improve the lives of Americans first and foremost, if they are running in politics in America. So keep in mind that this rallying cry of Nick Fuentes is around a very undefined and very easily shifted definition, if you want to call it nationalism, a definition of nationalism. America first. I will ally with anyone who says the word America first. Well, let me tell you the future. You're going to have a base that is increasingly large and increasingly detached from your current conception of what America First means. That doesn't mean that the project is unviable or unnecessary, but it means this is detachment from radicalism. A radical will tell you, I have these beliefs, and those are the conditions with which you can join my movement. But anyone who says America first, well, you know, down the line in 10 years from now, you could have leftists saying America first. America first, therefore, healthcare for everyone. America first, therefore, let us treat the illegal immigrants with dignity. This could be a program of the Democrats. But most importantly, what is detectable in this is that Nick says, if you are born in America, if you have citizenship, I can be your ally if you just say America first. So this is what has led to the reaction of Arval. Arval went to Nick Fuentes and in DM and said, look, I want to defend you. I want to defend you from people who are saying that, because now some people started concern trolling around Nick's precise statement around birth and citizenship, and saying, well, are you now a fan of birthright citizenship? And Arval wanted at first to defend Nick, but then went in DM and started asking Nick, hey, are you for birthright citizenship? The birthright citizenship being the idea that anyone who's physically born on the territory of America becomes immediately an American citizen, even if born out of, say, an illegal migrant or someone who was here as a tourist. So that's the idea of birthright citizenship. And since he was saying, I will ally with anyone who's born in America, of course, in the context, you can understand that he wasn't engaging on the technicalities of birthright citizenship there. If you want to be fair to Nick, he was saying, if you've been a citizen for generations here, if you have been born here, not in the sense of having been an anchor baby in a special twist of immigration laws, but what he meant generally is, if you are black, white, or yellow, but you have obtained your citizenship legitimately through birth here by people who were citizens themselves, then we can be allies. So I think that the debate having veered toward birthright citizenship misses the point that there is still something to be discussed, even if you forget about trying to catch him on, well, did you just acknowledge birthright citizenship? You can acknowledge that this sentence was still a broadening appeal, a broadening multiracial appeal. And I believe this is what we should focus on. Now, Arval has described his interaction with Nick Fuentes as a follow-up to this DM that he sent. Now, the thing with people of the level of celebrity of Nick Fuentes, Arval comes in DM and starts asking, hey, can you please confirm with me, because I'd like to defend you and I'd like to be sure that you're not for birthright citizenship. Personally, I never do this kind of thing. I always just express my view publicly. I know that Nick hates ankle biters, and I guess you could say I'm kind of an ankle biter in the sense that I do a lot of shows about the developments of Nick Fuentes, and you know, I'm just a small YouTuber commenting on him. But I don't annoy people in DM about this kind of stuff because it doesn't matter, really. What matters is what people say publicly. So I'm not going to go check for your private view. If you said something stupid publicly, I will criticize it publicly. But Arval kind of decided to go the private route and it turned bad.
So apparently I am now dead to Nick Fuentes. He says he will never help me again, and he says that no one else should help me either. This is because I privately DM'd him, asking for clarification on his stance on birthright citizenship. A clip was going around where he seemed to endorse birthright citizenship.
And by the way, I don't care what color you are. I know maybe that's going to be controversial on my side. But seriously, if you have citizenship, if you were born in this country, this is your birthright. This is our lives. This is our rights. This is our heritage. It's our tax dollars. It's our government. It's our military. This is our country. This is our empire.
Now, I knew that his stance in the past has been against that policy. I was actually in conversation with a much larger user on X in DMs, and he was attacking Nick. I was defending Nick, saying, I don't think Nick is changing his position. This is actually consistent with what he said in the past, but I wanted clarification from Nick before I defended him publicly. I told Nick in DMs that I wanted to defend him publicly, as long as I knew that we were on good terms, and I got clarification on that point. It's not a ridiculous question. Catholic social teaching is that wealthier nations have an obligation to accept immigrants from poorer nations. They are also against breaking up families in almost any case. So, if you have someone who was born in the country, two illegal immigrants, they've been here for 30 years. They have lots of friends and family in the country. The Catholic Church's position would be that that person should be able to stay.
So Arval here is raising an important point. Now, Arval decided to contact Nick Fuentes in private, which I don't know. This is something I wouldn't do. I do have access to Nick Fuentes in DM, but I wouldn't annoy him with trying to clarify his private view on something. If he had said something I strongly disagree with, I would come out publicly and say I disagree. But that's just my mode. I don't like these backroom discussions. I don't like, because ultimately I am an ethologist. I believe that anything that matters is already out there. The output of the behavior is what matters. So anyways, now, Arval is right deeply about something, which is that the Catholic teaching is much more open than the one that would make a proper white nationalist or even a white isolationist of the kind of Arval. So you have here you have a tension between two directions. For the Arval type return to the land project to exist, we need exclusionism. For Nick Fuentes project to exist, we need expansionism. So that tension will drive conflicts in the next 20 years, because there will be these people who have decided to move on from controlling America and live a la Arval within white communities. And those people will need to get more and more rejecting of others. On the other hand, you'll have the Nick Fuentes having the dream of having an ideology that is opened and broad enough to be expanded and to be winning political grounds. But for winning political grounds, they will have to ally with more and more non-whites. And they will have to also develop their political speech to be more and more appealing to non-whites. I'm very sorry about the lagging. People are reporting that the stream is lagging. I don't know. There seems to maybe be a problem with my connection tonight. I will continue recording the show as I can, and I'll try to re-upload it so that Larry Fisher recommends rewinding 30 seconds and let it let the buffer go in front of the show. I don't know what's causing this. I see it right here, but dropped frames detected. I'm going to have to investigate this. I don't know if I was to connect through Wi-Fi. I don't know. Instead of the wire, I don't think it will help. Very unlikely that it will help. So there are people complaining that Arval is being too, you have first the defense of Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes says that Arval is trying to trap him into a kind of semantic trap.
Disgusting.
Operation Wetback 2.0 sent $50. My feed was filled with Fuentes' for birthright citizenship. Is that true? Separately, do you believe just because a Mexican was born here that they have a birthright? Mexicans were only 4% of the pop-up until 1970 and are the largest collective of welfare recipients, etc. A foreigner in the Bible is not determined by paperwork, but by blood.
Well, I love that. I'm glad you brought that up. So on my show last week, we're talking about Israel first versus America first. And I said that Josh Hammer, his wife is Israeli. His kids are Israeli. I said, they're not even from here. I said, if you're from here, if you're born here, I said, this is your birthright. This is America. And I saw all of my ankle biters in the pro-white movement took that clip and they said, is Nick Fuentes endorsing birthright citizenship? Do you think that is the point of that clip? We're talking about America first versus Israel first. We're talking about people that literally are foreigners, they're foreign nationals, bossing us around, intimidating us, controlling our system. In this context, I said, if you're born in America, if you're a citizen, this is your birthright. And people, their interpretation of that is, oh, so anchor babies own America? Really? That's what you got from that? Me telling people...
Well, it's still important. I mean, the question is your political project so large that anyone physically in the U.S. is potentially your ally? Because radicals believe that there are a lot of enemies of the U.S. within the U.S. And that's a serious point of distinction. I think that Nick Fuentes is rejecting too much the critique here. He's being dismissive of it as kind of a trick that was done on his semantics. But no, down the line, it really matters. It really matters what proportion of the U.S. would you define as politically hostile? What proportion of the... Is it like 1%? Is it like the Jews? Or is it more like 40%, like the Jews, the blacks, the women, the whole bunch? Or is it like 60%? Or are you more like a weirdo radical like me, where I consider that 99% of the people around me are not, they are retarded? This matters a lot. And inevitably, I knew that the math of it is that there will be conflicts between the Arval direction and the Nick Fuentes direction. Because one has to be exclusive, one has to be inclusive.
Well, Americans should take pride in being American.
Well, Sneed for Life says Nick was just using rhetoric to rally people up against Israel. The thing is, nothing is merely rhetorical. The question of what is this political alliance that the Groypers are is a very serious question, because it could be that the Groypers are kind of the future TPUSA. They're kind of the future way to gatekeep some form of white nationalism out and to eventually gather a base of support for someone like J.D. Vance. And this is why I understand the concerns of Arval, because a few days ago, before even this whole thing blew up, I mentioned that I was starting to worry about how Nick Fuentes seems to be veering on J.D. Vance. It's like, what? Tucker Carlson gives you an interview and now suddenly you are asking J.D. Vance not to denounce the Groypers? That's kind of weird. That's kind of weird because first, J.D. Vance already disavowed Nick Fuentes. So if J.D. Vance says nothing, well, you could assume still up to this day that J.D. Vance disavows Nick Fuentes. But something changed on the side of Nick. See, Nick that was doing these superb streams criticizing Palantir and criticizing the history of J.D. Vance as being groomed by David Frum. Something changed from this era to now, where Nick Fuentes has kind of touched J.D. Vance through Tucker Carlson, and now he's saying, J.D., do not denunciate the Groypers, or we're gonna campaign against you. Well, I thought that the program was to campaign against him no matter what. I thought that the program was a radical opposition to J.D. Vance, because unfortunately, he is a compromised agent that has been groomed too early for anything that he could even say to mean anything. But something tells me that this whole interaction with Tucker may have eased and smoothed the Groyper movement. And the question is, to what extent? To what extent? Is it to the extent that if a black socialist was to tell you, you know what, I'm annoyed by Israeli wars too, then they would be a Groyper? What? You know, this is important, because these shifting and changing definitions can mean a lot down the line in terms of the effectiveness of a political movement, about whether it's effective to actually push forward principles, or whether it will fall because it will simply be a tool of the elite to gather a base. See, TPUSA was a tool of the elite to gather a base. It kind of failed. It has to fail, at least at this point, now that Charlie Kirk is dead. And So Nick Fuentes is becoming the kind of next target for this grooming operation. And if Nick cannot have his stated principles, holding to them strong so that we know where he wants to carry the Groyper movement, it's very hard to fully endorse it. Unconventional says, voting will not save us, only building something for ourselves. Arvol gets that, and Arkansas government did not reject his all-white community. Absolutely, that is a legitimate view, but it is different from the view of Nick Fuentes. So all in all, I won't extend the show too long because clearly there's an internet problem and I have to figure out, is it in my wires or is it just that my ISP is weak? Maybe it's the winter is coming, maybe they're having problems, or maybe it's at the AWS level. Because there's been a lot of shutdown of AWS connections. So I'll do a quick review of the remaining news, and that's all I had to say about the Nick Fuentes stuff. Nick Fuentes inevitably will detach himself from people like Arval and even people like me, because we're different. Let us not forget that when I was on the show of Nick years ago, he introduced me as a liberal, what? I think he said something along the lines of a liberal degenerate. I think he said, oh yeah, I thought it would be good to have a perspective from a liberal degenerate. And I'm certainly not a liberal in the normal sense of the word as it is used these days. But I also agree with what he meant. I agree with what he means. I am a behaviorally liberal guy in the sense that I am, I'm not a moral Puritan. I'm not a moral Puritan. I do have my moral beliefs and my moral codes, but I am liberal in my application of those to others. To me, what enforces my behavior versus your behavior and what I expect from you is contractual agreement. And so, yes, that makes me a very temperamentally liberal guy. And yes, I'm kind of a degenerate. I would have loved to have a straighter life, but I didn't get it. So I went. I did what I could with the hands I was dealt, and that has meant a lot of degeneracy. But for this reason, let's not forget that Nick is not me, and Nick is not Arval, and we have been encountering each other early in the history of the internet because we were a community that were respectful to each other. And we were communities of creators, YouTubers, and public thinkers. But we have never been bound to be part of the same intellectual movement. And we always came at it from different places. Arval was a total nihilist, bizarre. I don't even know how to characterize Arval back then. I am an atheist, nationalist, sympathetic to race questions, and ultimately a believer that some people are not salvageable. And Nick Fuentes is a Catholic who believes that people are salvageable in general, or that at least a door has to be let open for them. So this will converge toward a very different future. We don't belong in the same political movement. And I could go through all of the alt-right personalities, and they don't belong in the same movement anyway to begin with, because the alt-right was such an inclusive movement in a way, in terms of the ideologies that the angles at which people came to be defensive of white people. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, regarding suicide, whatever happened to the conservative view that we have a moral obligation to stay alive for loved ones' sake? It seems even trad cons forgot the utility of this moral shaming. Oh yeah, I did a tweet that that created a lot of noise, of course, by these stupid people who always check my tweets to see if they can detect, oh, he murdered Mama Jeff. And of course, I love to provoke this crowd because they're stupid. And yes, I made the point. I made the point, and I used funny language for the purpose of comedy. And people are telling me that maybe the stream has been repaired, so maybe now we don't have buffering anymore. So I used a comedic phrasing to trigger this crowd lately, and I said, you know, regarding Thomas Massey remarrying so quick after his first wife died. And people were saying, how long should one wait after his wife died? And I said, don't wait a second. Next woman, immediately. And I said, a lot of women die on purpose or disappear on purpose just to nag their husband. They die on you intentionally to cock block you, and that's their way to cock block you. And you shouldn't let yourself be victimized by this. You should just fuck the next woman as quickly as you can. Now, of course, this was all comedic phrasing, but I have a real point to make, which is that, yes, women use suicide and threats of suicide, dying on purpose, for the purpose of harassing their husband and for the purpose of abusing, mental abuse, psychological abuse of the husband. And no one talks about it. But yeah, some of them are willing to go up to dying to just troll their husband. And there's documentation of this being the case in Native American tribes. You had a tradition when women were getting pissed at their husband, they were eating a poisonous flower that led to their death, and they had this whole belief that they will be a ghost and they will haunt their husband. We have to talk about it. You know, a woman who commits suicide or who threatens, because the threats are much more common than the actual act. They're not just a victim. They are an abuser, and we need to fix this. But we're not close to fixing it, because when I try to tweet about it, I get all these, oh, he must have killed Mama JF. It's like, no, there's not even a suggestion of this in my tweet. I'm literally talking about histories like that of Mama JF. Like, yes, as men, we are victim. These women, they disappear on us, and they do so in an intentionally hurtful way, and they do so in a way that they know is abusive, and they want it to cause trouble. Big Time Ape says, and this is based on the theory that they're all much more intelligent than us, the regular people, who really don't do very well in school, but it is just a theory. He was talking about, it's kind of interesting, we believe so much this kind of academic credentialing, where we put these people who perform very well in these kinds of academic competitions at the head of our society. Oh yeah, that's a big problem, because performance at school is correlated with real life success. But the more you focus on it, the more you have the problem of imitable signals, which is that you're going to have people who are extremely tuned to recording whatever you spout at them. And they're not going to be particularly creative and brilliant. And that's what you get in the Asian, basically. The Asian student, you can, you know, they will record whatever you tell them. They will spot it back on a piece of paper. They have big school performance. But the ingeniosity coming out of the Asian world is not particularly impressive. The creativity, their willingness to challenge, to discover, to boldly pursue an act of creation or scientific understanding. I don't see this at all in the Asian. So you have a problem when you base society too much around correlates like the grades at school. I'm afraid that we are farming into the elite classes of our society. We're farming highly conformal people, highly conformist minds. And it's like, there's no measure of nonconformism that can advantage you in school. And yet we know that the very successful geniuses of history in the creation of music, the creation of science, big, big minds, they were all nonconformist. Like there's a level of intensity in your contribution to human culture where you have to have some degree of nonconformalism to achieve this level. And unfortunately, when we do grades and exams, and that's all, when it's the only output that matters out of school, we are completely saying that this psychological feature does not matter. I think you should have grades for, you should have a course in originality, and you should reward awkward, bizarre thinking in it. Not awkward in the sense of bad or weird, but awkward in the sense of, you know, extremely creative, beside the track, out of the box type of intelligence. You don't have a single course in the history from elementary school to university where you're going to measure that. At best, maybe in teamwork, maybe there's some challenges that are kind of out of the box thinking, demanding some degree of creativity, but you don't get grade for it. You don't get evaluated for it, and we certainly don't farm it properly. Anyways, that is it for tonight, boys. I'll cut the show short because I know we are buffering. I'm so sorry about this. I'm going to, maybe it's related to my decor. Maybe I broke one of my wires. I'm going to have to, but you guys shouldn't be receiving me. If my wires were cut, I don't think you guys would be receiving me. So I'll have to see if time fixes it, or maybe a reset of the router. And hopefully tomorrow we can get this solved and get a regular show. Much love, everyone. Cringe Panda is in the regular chat. She says, I arrived just in time to see the end. Well, much love, everyone. Sleep well. And I'll see you all tomorrow.